views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. And welcome to Free Fire Radio, right here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Today, Ash Wednesday.
Oh, that means...
This is your national day there,
well,
buddy.
Well, if you see somebody... Now, I don't know...
Wait a minute. It's the 22nd of February, okay. 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
I have more to talk about with Shasta Regional Medical Center. But do you remember... And I know... Sue, if Sue can hear this... Sue, do you remember the days of when you would go to school and you'd see kids with the ash on their forehead?
Maybe Liam did. Did you see that, Liam, when you were growing up?
No, I didn't.
All right. Sue, do you still go and get the ash on your forehead? I'm sorry, again. Do you go, do they still practice where they do the cross on the forehead on Ash Wednesday?
Yes, they do. The Catholics still do that.
Okay, so now.
You will see a number of people here in town.
I hope so. I'm just. Now, do you actually practice that?
No.
Okay. But I'm just asking because I remember growing up and seeing more kids that would come to school with the ash on their, with the ash on their forehead.
Yes, we did. I went to a Catholic school and my family did. It's just with my schedule, it just doesn't work out.
Okay.
I can light up a cigar here. Yeah. Okay.
I bet you anything if
it's
we
probably
were
not the same.
If
is
we
it?
Were in Italy,
no.
Or you know, a major Catholic country, I bet you everywhere you go, you see it's just a common thing.
You will
thing.
See it today. It's Ash Wednesday.
All right.
Okay. Cool. Liam's here.
I love the tradition
and
of that.
Now
by
we
the way.
Just keep changing around. You know,
thanks,
we
Sue.
Should not ask Sue questions because she's working over there trying to keep us on the air, and then we ask her questions, and Liam goes, "Huh?
Yeah."
Have you seen it before, though, Liam?
No, I haven't. Ever.
Oh,
never
man.
Have. Have you ever noticed that on Ash Wednesday you may see people, it looks like they got a smudge on their forehead? Think back.
I didn't even know Ash Wednesday was a thing until yesterday when you mentioned it. So.
Yeah. No, it's pretty cool.
I mean, I don't do it because...
And this is what I love
Catholic.
About certain religions that have
this
these,
has been going on for...
Yes.
Over 2000
probably,
years,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Since you know the anyway, but
anyway.
But what I love about certain religions is that they have these you know religious traditions, and I think it's
like
really
Christmas?
Yeah. And also the Mormons have their missions, and there's in each I think in each religion.
I tell you what, before this year is over, we should bring in you know for half our segment. Every religion, you know, a representative from every religion to talk about their religion.
I like that.
And you know,
that
I mean,
would be
because we have contacts in the Muslim community. We have contacts in the Catholic, Christian, Jewish, Mormon. We have contact. And then there may be others out there. I probably won't have a Satanist on, but I would. Why not?
And a Baptist.
Well, it's kind of the Christian.
Well,
thing.
I mean, there's
but,
a whole.
Because then you can go to different.
We have a Seventh-day
I'd like
Adventist.
To have, I'd have to have some.
Yes.
I'd like to have Smile from Bethel.
Absolutely.
Talk about that. It's been a while. We used to have Bethel.
Well, we're under a winter storm watch, by the way. 20% chance of rain after 1 o'clock today. Mostly sunny with a high near 51. It's currently 32 degrees. West wind up to 6 to 14 miles per hour today. And if you were in the gust of wind yesterday, today we may have gusts up to 21 miles.
Try changing a bandage on a horse that doesn't like the wind.
Oh, yeah. 21 miles per hour. Now, tonight, it looks like we have about 30% chance of snow showers, mainly after 4 a.m., increasing clouds with a low of around 30.
Wait a minute. Ian, I'm warning you now. Do you want to spend the night at the house?
I'm already figuring out rides just in case it
okay,
does.
But right. If you need
we
to,
have a spare room.
We have a spare room if you need it.
Just let me know because the lavender...
Will you shake me awake in the morning?
The lavender sheets have not been washed yet, but I'll do it quickly.
But you have your own shower.
Yeah.
Linda will wake you up with a little crumpet and some tea.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yes. So, okay, so tomorrow, snow showers, likely more than one. Do you want me to go through this?
Yes, go on.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thursday, commentary on the site. Snow showers likely, then rain, snow likely. I'm just reading what the National Weather Service says. Thursday night, rain and snow with overnight lows of 33. So, that's why it's very important to, you know, cover your citrus, cover whatever you're doing. Chance of rain, snow, then slight chance of showers on Friday with a high of 47 and overnight lows with extreme frost on the low 31.
Okay.
Saturday, areas of frost and sunny 57, overnight lows of 36. So this is that week where we have super cold nights. Yeah. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane and Anderson Company, where they have senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793.
They treat their customers as warm friends,
yes.
And it's a veteran-owned business.
Yes, all your propane. Now, do you mind if I just insert real fast about Shasta Regional?
No.
And an event that I attended last night. It was called Ladies Night Out. I got there late because, of course, we were trying to bandage the horse, and it was, which you think would be 30 minutes turned into a very long. Anyways, I ran in, and Dr. Khan was speaking, and then I think he practices, with his son-in-law. So they spoke a lot again about, if somebody couldn't make the Go Red Luncheon, heart health. And this is an incredible night because they had, the doctor speaking, they had, free screenings. So, we got to, I think there may be 65, maybe 70 women with all these different nurses. So we had our blood drawn to find out, what our, levels of, what is it that, what did we talk about last night? I can't remember when you have your blood drawn for, come on, hurry up. We didn't have to
fast. Cholesterol.
Cholesterol, thank you. Blech. We had our body fat that went into different things that you had to take your shoes off and weigh yourself, which was not so fun to do, but at least, you know, it told you what your metabolic and your body fat and all that. Then we did EKGs, and the guy was reading it while he told us about, like, the woman I was standing next to said, well, not a leaky, but you've got, like, something in your left side. He was reading it, right? When does that ever happen? They're reading it while you've got your little things on your...
While there's other people standing there.
That's all right. We were just... I said to the lady I was with, who, by the way, is a doctor,
mm-hmm.
We ended up kind of, like, teaming up through the night. And I'm going to interview her because she's amazing, and I can't wait to share her with people who maybe she's back in town and she's new again back into town. But anyway, so I said, listen, numbers are numbers. We're just going to let it be. We're going to let it all hang out, whatever it is, whatever your age, whatever your weight, whatever your numbers. This is a reality. And so being a doctor who's like slash scientist, it's like this is real. I mean, why
so
would you
what
hide?
What was your metabolic age?
Well, my metabolic age was 49, and that was my good takeaway for the night. And I'm 64. So, and it's weird to even say the
ages.
Number because when I say it in front of people, it's like, it's kind of like, I guess, if my mom was going to be 90, it's like, it doesn't feel real.
I would bet her metabolic age for your mother and your father. Have got to be 15 years younger. No, I'm not kidding you. Because of their activities and everything they do. Okay. So, but it was a good experience?
It was a wonderful experience. And I just want to shout out to Leanne Foster and all of the people at Shasta Regional. They had students that came in that were doing, which was so great. And again, this doctor that I was with, and of course, Anik, who's married to a doctor and was an audiologist. We just really commend, that these young students were there to take the test, to help us with the test. And it was very interesting because we actually went and had our blood drawn, and then they're going to send us the results of what those are. We had a page. So you had an EKG.
EKG.
EKG, sorry. Our blood drawn, the metabolic, the fat content, and there was one more I can't think
BMI.
Of.
BMI.
Oh, your blood pressure.
And
your left
pressure.
And your right arm. When does that happen? So you know what your left arm and your right arm. I it was wonderful.
Okay. It was a great
night. Did we just take that whole segment talking about that?
Well, it was that and other things. This portion of the show brought to you by Doug Tooley and B&T Satellite, Redding's dish premier local retailer, providing our area with the best value, service, and technology in TV for over 30 years. Doug's also the one we called when we had a satellite problem here a week or so ago, and he came out and readjusted it. It didn't have to be readjusted a lot, but still, if it moves a little here, it's going to move a lot out into space out there. Did a great job. And we've been using Doug since, we came here and we have Dish. And we have had very few problems, first of all. But if we did have a problem, we call B&T Satellite and they fix it. They've got all types of great deals going on down there. So don't call the 800 number. Call our local Dish retailer, local business, stay local. Call him at 530-241-3474. B&T Satellite. 7:15 in the morning, and we'll be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
ShastaBeam is happy to announce that we have finally added 10 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from ShastaBeam Wireless Internet bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream at home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right. Free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competitors' startup costs. And there are no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call ShastaBeam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main, thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. And find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Jazzercise Redding Fitness Center would like to thank the Redding Rancheria supporting small businesses in our community. With this grant, we were able to keep going so we could keep moving.
Pathways to Hope for Children would love to thank the Redding Rancheria. They've been involved with Camp Hope since 2012. Thank you from Pathways to Hope for Children to the Rancheria for all you do.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Today, the 22nd of February, 7:19 in the morning, and it's about...
7:19.
That can't be right. Is it only 30 degrees out there?
Yes, 32. I said it this morning, 32.
I did see a little bit of it looked not really hard frost on windows on the street when I was driving by. Anyway, this portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. They are a local bank. They are taking care of people here in our community. They're moving local dreams forward, and they have since the day they opened 15 years ago. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. Last night at the city council meeting, I went there for two reasons. The first one was the Reading Rodeo Association did a presentation. So a number of us from the Reading Rodeo Association showed up in our red shirts and hats and boots. And this, and after the presentation, it's our 75th year. This is the 75th year of the Reading Rodeo Association. Now, it started earlier, but it wasn't the Reading Rodeo Association. It was the Sheriff's Posse. And John Balma, and I think a lot of people remember John Balma, was the one that kicked this thing off. Anyway, the after the presentation, Mayor DeQuisto said, what can we do to help the Reading Rodeo Association? Because it doesn't cost the city any money for that Reading Rodeo Arena. And we have a lease, and it's only good for like 3 years. But all of the work, all the money raised, all the repairs, everything that's done on that arena is paid for by the Reading Rodeo Association. And he said, well, what can we as our city help with and what the Reading Rodeo Association needs and will benefit the city, doesn't cost them anything, is a long-term lease. Now, I left before they discussed that at the end of the night, but there were a number of the Reading Rodeo that were still there when I left. And so it would be interesting that there was two councilmen, Mazzano and DeQuisto, that were, it seemed, very much in favor of a long-term lease. What's a long-term lease means? It means then you can raise money and you can plan on capital improvements down there. Better seating, better facilities down there. Not going to be any more room, of course, but you can enhance that in so many ways. So that was the first thing. Second thing was they met on the short-term rentals. Now, there were two parts of it. One was to put that ordinance into place. And then the other one was let's put together a committee. Now, you know how I feel about committees. I've seen them here in Reading before at the city. Put together a committee. It goes for 6 or 7 months. Either they come out with a deliverable, and when they do, the city votes the council votes the way they want anyway. I mean, that's just the way it is. So I thought that kicking the can down the road, and I wish I had the sound. See if you can find the sound of a can being kicked down the road, Liam.
Okay.
I'm serious, because Mayor DeQuisto is going to be on Thursday. I think that's the least I can do for him. He'll be on tomorrow, is to have a kick the can down the road sound. And that's what I spoke about. And I said, you know, when it started, the only thing that I wanted, and I realize I'm the one that opened this can of worms that just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, was I wanted the street, the neighbors, the neighborhood to have a say in a short-term rental before it was permitted, not after.
Right.
And I wanted a circle around that one, you know, around that short-term rental, so there wouldn't be another one in 300
yards.
Two
doors down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't have that one and then one across the street and then two more down.
I think we may be surprised at how many there actually are up down the street that people are using.
No, not our street. Don't look at me like that. Don't tell me that. And so there would be like, you know, there might be one on a street, but it wouldn't be another one on the street and in a 1,000-foot circle, 300-yard circle.
Mm-hmm.
That's still plenty and plenty of room in the city. And it was brought up by several other people came up and spoke against short-term rentals. also. And then you had several of the realtors and, of course, the property managers. They came up and, you know, hey, this is our job. We've had houses up here for 4, 5, 6, 7 years. There's never been a complaint. Well, I don't want to see those people go out of business.
No.
That's the last thing I want to see. I just wanted that. So what they're going to do, they're going to do a committee, but the committee's going to be Barry Tippin and staff heads. They're going to open it up to community input. Then they're going to put it together and in like 10 days bring it back to the city council. So
right.
Then they can vote on it. Then it's still another weeks and weeks and weeks. Since we started this, 67 permits have been asked for.
Really?
Yes. And now that's over 25% of the number of short-term rentals we have.
Well, see, I think...
And this is the problem. How many is too many? When you reach a certain point, 400, 300...
I don't know, but I really feel, and I'm not interrupting, but I feel like this is, you know, when people would go and dig out of a hill and gold mine. There were no rules. And so you basically dug out of a hill and ruined, you know, and if I were a realtor, I'd say, oh my God, here's a house you can buy and you can rent it out. Those are always things that are palatable for people. Now, I have talked to two or three people in the last 3 weeks that have some organization, some company out of Washington, the state of Washington, where they have investors that are looking for property in Reading.
Yeah, and see, this is it. One of the realtors has 18 properties that they take care of. 9 of them are from Shasta County residents. 9 are from out of state. And that's something else, too, is you've got hedge funds buying houses all over the place to put them in short-term rentals.
Right.
Anyway, there's got to be rules, but it shouldn't be so draconian that it puts a person out of business if they've been in business for years. There haven't been a complaint, but we need from this point forward for something to happen. There's got to be, you've got to bring some rules
right
in here so a neighborhood doesn't lose the integrity it has.
Well, you mentioned yesterday.
The other thing is you buy a house in a single family neighborhood and now somebody puts up a mini motel next to you.
That's what it is.
I'm going to start a
blacksmith out in front.
A farrier service.
Yes.
And just bring horses in.
Right.
And just start a farrier service right there.
And you won't
Why
know
not?
Because there won't be any hours. It'll be like whenever you decide to
whenever
do it.
Whenever I want to bring them in. Yeah, that's right. And then I'll just.
Your property.
Oh, yeah. And then I'll let them graze on the, when the ones that are lined up, I'll just let them graze on people's property there.
Well, you did
mainly
mention
the short-term rental place. And then if it had a swimming pool, I'd bring them, put them in there for hydrotherapy.
Right. So, but that's a business now. You're not allowed to, in the neighborhood.
How
do
about
that.
We open up a cannabis dispensary there?
Well,
huh?
I think you have to have a
license for that. Well, you're supposed to have
you
have a license for the short-term rentals. Do we need short-term rentals? Yes, we need short-term rentals. Does a neighborhood need a say? Yes. And the other thing is the density. That's the whole thing is density. All right. Enough of that. Now, today, we're going to have a theater group join us after the break.
Reading Performing Arts Center.
And then Chris Kellstrom, Shasta County Board of Supervisors, just elected, will come in today. And we're going to talk about his experiences now as a Board of Supervisor, but also the Second Amendment resolution. We had Patrick Jones on yesterday to talk about it. Now, we're going to have Chris come in and tell us what happened afterwards. Tomorrow we're going to have Mayor Mike DeQuisto in. And one of the questions will be the parking. I hope he can explain the parking. I know that he was not, I don't think he was in favor of doing it, so of redoing it like this. But we'll find out tomorrow. Anyway, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back after these messages.
Thank you. Thank you to all our amazing guests for voting us Best in the North State 2022 in multiple categories. We couldn't have done it without you. Voted Best Casino, Best Employer of over 500 employees, and Best Place to Dance for the 2022 Best of the North State Awards. Come down and join us for all the fun and exciting events and promotions we have going on in 2023. After 30 years, we're still the one. For more information on all upcoming events, see WinRiver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading wants to wish you a happy new year. And to celebrate the new year, Quick and Clean offers car wash packages starting at only $9. Now the winter weather is upon us, when dirt and grime can really build up on your vehicle. So stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Love it.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR.
Can never be too old to move your body.
96.5 FM. And,
I like that because it kind of depicts our life. That's We're still having fun, even though sometimes we want to rip each other's face off. We still just wake up in the morning and you know, we've been married now 15 years, so.
15?
But yeah, but we put like
a
life
in. Together, you double
You put
that.
A life in.
We've
so,
been married 30
yeah.
years.
And we just, you know, like it's like my mom and dad have been married 70 years now, and people, how did you do it? Well, first of all, we stayed alive. And then the other one is that I think you just learn to tolerate. You know, like you just, you know, come on, you're full of your stuff right now. Kind of walk away for a minute and just like let it settle.
That's the secret. Walk away from that. No. Now.
What you don't walk away from is your love for the arts, because it never goes away. And with us this morning, we have two people who are bringing us information. Brendan Bogman, good morning.
Good morning.
And Megan Owens. How are you?
Doing great this morning.
Bowman? Is it Bowman?
Bauman.
Bogman.
Okay.
Did I say that? Okay,
close.
By the way. Okay, so we are going to be discussing a theater that is putting on a production, and that's Reading Performing Arts Center. And you guys are here to tell us about an upcoming show that's an Agatha Christie special performance called And Then There Were None. So, shoot.
Yeah, so it's a murder mystery, and it's set in the 1930s, and it's a fantastic story of trying to discover who that murderer is. And there are 10 individuals that have been stranded on this island.
Mm.
They think they're going on a vacation, but they find out that that's not the case. So, yeah, we've been rehearsing the last 2 months on it over at the center. Our theater is there, and we open on Thursday, so we're really excited. Tomorrow is our opening.
Yeah, very
well,
excited.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about this theater? Because I know we have some great theater, local theater here in the Reading area, and I would like our listeners to know about the theater company and what you're doing in that location. Let's tell people where it is. What's coming up? Do you have regular productions there, et cetera?
Yeah, so Reading Performing Arts Center has been around since 2019. We opened right before the pandemic. We do a lot of educational theater. And then this year we started our performances with adult actors. So this is our third performance with adult actors, and we do about 6 shows a year with adult actors. And then we have all our educational theater. So we have Annie coming up. We have 101 Dalmatians coming in the summer. We have Boeing Boeing, which is another lovely play that Megan is actually in as well.
Ta-da!
So right, Megan's doing double duty this time around.
Double duty, double duty.
So what do you mean by double duty, Megan?
Oh, well, I saw the audition notice for And Then There Were None, and there was this other play, Boeing Boeing, and I love Agatha Christie, so mm-hmm. And I love And Then There Were None. So I went to the audition, and they were auditioning for a comedy called Boeing Boeing that goes up in June, and so I got cast in both of those.
Yeah, the directors, we have 2 separate directors on it, and they were like, we really like Megan. Can we just cast her in both? So,
well, fantastic. So, Megan, yeah. We met some time ago through the Library Foundation.
Yeah. Yes.
And so let's talk about your journey. And were you in the acting field and theater field at that time? And what brought you to where? And what are you doing now?
Sure. Well, I do have a background in theater. I have a degree in theater, and I did a lot of community theater in Washington, D.C. area. Moved to Reading in 2013. Did a little bit of theater here, not a lot. And then I was ordained at Pilgrim Congregational UCC in the United Church of Christ while I was here. Went to Southern California, served 2 small churches, and I'm back as the minister of the Pilgrim UCC.
Oh my gosh. Well, see, that's like woohoo.
And I was thinking to myself, I really need to get back on stage. It just really feeds me. So I saw the audition at Reading Performing Arts, and I thought that would be really fun. So I went, and it has been an amazing ride, and it's going to be an incredible journey for the audience. It's the book. It's based on a book, And Then There Were None by Agatha Christie, and the book is consistently on every list for the best mystery ever written.
I actually was in 8th grade when I read it for the first time, and I could not put the book down. The teacher gave it to me, and like it was like, you know, at school, so it was like 10 in the morning. By 3 o'clock in the morning at night, I finally finished the book.
Oh, my gosh.
And then handed the book back into the teacher the next day.
I love that. That's like that reading addiction that you just, like, can't put it down.
It was so like, enthralled. I was just like, I have to find out what happened.
See, and this, I think, you know, Agatha Christie wrote this, what, back in the 30s?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Fast forward to today, that story where there's 10 people on an island and they start dropping. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Fast forward to Friday the 13th or, you know, with the slasher films
mm-hmm.
where they start dropping like this. You know, somebody is doing it. But in those films, you know who they are. But the it's the same kind of a premise. You know, all these people are dying, you know, albeit horribly with blood. But there was a movie that came out not that long ago that had Daniel Craig, and it's something about the onion or something, but
yes,
it was
The Glass Onion.
The Glass Onion, which was kind of like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So this genre has been around a long time, but
she's
was
the king.
Truly
She's the Stephen
murder,
King
murder,
of
Murder on the Orient.
Yes.
Yeah, the
the master,
on, Murder on the Orient Express. Yeah. I mean, all of these.
Yeah.
This sounds like, and I've not heard of this one.
So it opens, and how many are in the cast?
There are 11 in the cast.
Okay.
And then we have our director, Spencer Deardorff. And to answer your question about when it opens, we open tomorrow, and then we have shows the rest of this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday matinee, and Saturday evening show, and then next week the same schedule. So we're running for 2 weekends.
That's wonderful. When you think about, you know, how much time the directors and the actors and everybody puts in, it's so nice to have a run, you
yes.
know?
Yes.
How many performances is that?
It's
10?
Eight.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. All right. So what do we want to add? More information. Where does one get tickets? And we're congratulations, first of all. Again, we're talking about the Agatha Christie play that's going to be at and the location once again.
Yes. Yeah, so it's going to be at 3274 Bocelli Lane at the Reading Performing Arts Center. Tickets are available online at readingpac.com. Again, that's readingpac.com. Tickets will also be available at the door, so if you, you know, decide last minute you want to come, we welcome you to show up and we'll get you a ticket there at the door as well.
All right, thank you. And I love your story. I know that I've seen you and met you in different locations now that you bring this to our awareness that you're still, you know, practicing over at what's the term that you would use at the Pilgrim Congregational?
Oh, I'm the minister, the pastor.
The minister, okay.
That's great.
Still clergy. Clergy! To be ordained.
To be ordained. It was an amazing thing. It really
Did
was.
Did you go through school?
Yes, I have a Master's of Divinity from Garrett Theological Seminary in Evanston, which is just outside of Chicago.
Have you heard of Marymount?
Yes.
In Virginia?
You yes.
know, it's a theology. Yes. You know, they have just cut theology and art and religious studies out of the curriculum.
They've cut it? They're a good school, too.
Yeah, well, look it up.
And then there were none.
And then there were none. Yeah, and we talked about it yesterday, and it caused a lot of consternation in the students and alumni.
I would think so. You know, we like to, you know, one of the ways I think that we save money, we think it's good to cut the arts because that seems like an easy thing to cut, and yet it's the arts that allow us to be human, and it's the arts that help us to learn how to be teams, just like sports. It's the arts that help us do well in math and, in fact, every other subject, especially music.
Absolutely, you know, agree.
It's transformational.
Mm-hmm.
Some kids can express themselves on a football field. They can express themselves in debate these ways that helps them, you know, become a better person.
Mm-hmm.
The arts do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
They're a lot about discovery.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, like it's why I do what I do. Like you have this student that is before you, no matter what the age is, and it's them discovering that they can do something they didn't realize they can do, or overcoming boundaries and hindrances, and it's just really transformational.
Empowering.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to acting, because you can release yourself into that person, into that persona.
Yeah.
And say things and do things that, you know, go far beyond you.
Or
but gives you the confidence.
Or that you can't do in real life.
You can't do in real life.
It's almost like
no, you're
Agatha Christie.
You can. Yeah.
I'm thinking about, you know, in high school. You know, yeah. you know, local, you know.
It's like a superpower.
Yeah.
It can happen that, you know, you go home.
Yeah.
And you may not, you know, when you walk out the door, you may not, if you've been bullied or you maybe come from a dysfunctional, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden you go into the theater and you can submerge yourself in something that makes you feel worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I love that about theater in general and theater folk.
In the family of theater,
because I don't care if you're purple, green, have five arms, people are going to dig you because you're different, and that's cool.
Yeah, it's definitely about self-discovery. And I think also, you know, as you were saying, a lot of kids can express themselves verbally or they're good at sports. And I think arts really help kids who and people who express themselves visually or kinesthetically through dance movement. And it's just helps everyone to sort of find their place.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I was thinking, too, just with what you're saying, you know, kind of bringing it back to, and then there were none.
Mm-hmm.
Like with theater, so each of us as actors, we have these characters that we're playing, and they have personalities, and they have these, like, experiences that we're bringing in. How are we interacting with each character? And I think the thing that's really been, because I'm actually in the show as well, I think something that's been really interesting is that these 10 people came here and none of them knew each other and they all have these personalities and then they like start dying and then like the conflict of personalities within that. So it's like this, it's really just been an interesting thing.
Yeah, kind of like real life.
Yeah.
Kind of like real life.
Are we going to take a break? We'll come back a little bit more about this upcoming show. And I do want to know, again, can we buy tickets? We'll talk about that afterwards. Where we get tickets again, just going to drive it home.
This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Nobody knows more than Jeff Wurst about repairing windshields. He's been doing it for a couple of decades. Whether it's a small chip or a crack over 2 feet in length, Jeff can fix it. Truly quality workmanship. I repaired a crack on my windshield 14, 15 years ago, and you still can't see it. That's how good it is. He guarantees his work for the life of the windshield. For a free inspection and analysis, bring your car, truck, or RV down to 3208 South Market Street or give Jeff a call at 530-241-8373 for an appointment today. Crackmaster Windshield Repair, it's a veteran-owned business. It's a local business. Buy local, stay local. We'll be right back.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercial, I'll hop with the hop. We're the app for the coolest and the music is as smooth as with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling B&T Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH. Hi, this is Doug Tooley. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Redding. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Redding. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Redding.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge in the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coach Master has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coach Master, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coach Master apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachMasterAutobody.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Wing Jewelry.
Yes, located at 2225 Hilltop Drive for all of your jewelry needs. We've been going there for, 15 years? A darling couple bought it from Leonard, but Leonard, you will see Leonard in there occasionally making personal appearance. For loose stones, for watch repair, for any kind of jewelry, estate jewelry, it's a great place to go. Again, Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store that we know of in Reading. All right, so we are here. We've asked them to stay over. We are here with Brandon. And we're talking, and?
Megan.
Sorry, this is not in front of me. So with the Reading Performing Arts Center, and we are discussing Agatha Christie performance that opens.
This Thursday.
Yep,
tomorrow.
A couple things that we were talking about. Can you buy tickets at the door?
Yes, you can buy tickets at the door.
And you have Saturday matinee.
We have a Saturday matinee both weekends.
Good parking.
Fantastic parking. You can park literally right in front of the theater.
Right. And one of the things we talked about at the break was that there was a second ending that was written by Agatha Christie during the war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, World War II. So basically what happened is the original ending, during the war, morale was low. People were dealing with lots of death and things. And so she decided that the ending was too much. So she wrote an alternative ending. And in the United States, that was actually when this play came to the United States, that was the only ending in the United States at the beginning.
So now, but you're doing the original. So for those big Agatha Christie fans,
if you've read the book, you know what we mean.
Yes, we're not giving anything away on the air.
I love that. Okay, well, congratulations. I think that's really great. And I love the fact that this community theater is up and going and that you are continuing on with many performances and that you do these educational performances as well.
Yeah. We do. So
it's wonderful.
So closing thoughts.
Get your tickets at readingpac.com. If you want to, you know, get involved yourself, you can connect with us at that website or try out one of our classes. We also have art classes and a comedy class. Megan's husband actually took the comedy class.
Yes, so. Stand-up comedy.
How now fun!
Now he's going to open mics all over.
Oh.
So beware. Or be ready and be delighted.
So I know somebody that's doing that. And they find these open mics. And he's never done it before.
Yeah.
I met him years ago. But he's never done that. He's really enjoying that.
He can get some tips and tricks from the class at RPAC.
Okay, tell a joke.
I'm not the teacher. I'm the music teacher in the theater.
Okay. There's a comedian, a local comedian.
Yeah, we have a professional local comedian that teaches our stand-up class.
But that's another thing, too, is, you know, if you're an adult and you've always wanted to try out acting or music or visual arts, check out the website. They have some great classes for us, too.
Yeah. So tickets are at readingpac.com, and classes are too.
Reading P
A C.
All right, there we go.
.com.
I'm sorry we had to, like, you know, we got busy. Reading P A C.
Sorry, I speak.
No, no, no. I mean, because we have all have a tendency to, because we know it, we run on.
How many plays do y'all do a year?
For our educational theater, we have two semesters, so each class does a show. So we have basically six classes at the educational level, between the different theater classes we have. And then we have four to six adult actors, or performances with adult actors, so more like community theater. So, and then we have random, like, you know, we have our Broadway Cabaret coming up here in the end of March, beginning of April. Our comedy, we have a comedy show that happens every month. So the Tambor Theater comedy show. We also have a family-friendly comedy show called Shenanigans. So, yeah, we have quite a few different things going on.
So Brendan Bogman.
Brandon Bauman.
I'm sorry, you guys. Have
like
many times.
I'll help you. You just take a bow. Brandon Bauman.
Okay, Bauman. Okay, the G is silent. Yes. And Megan Owen.
Yep.
I have slaughtered your name, so you can call me anything you want. I'll be like, okay. Anyway, you guys, forgive me for doing that this morning.
No
Bauman.
No worries at all.
All right. We have a couple tickets that we can give away.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
All right, because we encourage people really to attend local theater.
Yes.
And so give us a call, 605-4567. Now, how's that going to work? They're going to call us.
So are we doing a certain number of caller, or are they just the first person?
Well,
the
first person to call.
Oh,
and
lovely.
We're going to get
first
two tickets
away. First person to call gets two tickets.
All right.
You will not be sorry.
No,
so
no.
Get your phones, folks.
Yeah, and it's a great location, by the way. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about parking.
Easy
That's a
to
big
get
deal.
To. It's pretty much right off the 5. You just...
Yeah, it's right.
Well,
you know where the Rose Center is.
Yes, exactly.
Where Adamson's Peak Performance used to be. And, we all know that mall is like a little mini mall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that, maybe we should just call in for some of those tickets.
Well, I can get you guys passes. If you want.
Okay.
I would love to give them to you.
All
okay,
right.
Great.
All right. So we're taking calls. 605-4567.
If you'd like to go to this great theater and Agatha Christie, just give us a call. 605-4567. The phones are ringing at this point. And then you go online and you can get your pass that way and just... Is that any night too, right?
Yeah. So what it'll be is we'll give them a code that's just for them,
okay.
And then they can use that code and they can choose what performance they want.
I tell
to
you
use
what, them. Liam, is that two calls? Yeah. So yeah. Take the second call too. We'll give away two sets of
yeah.
tickets today.
There we go. See, we love the power of radio and our
yeah.
listeners who love to go and support local theater.
Yeah.
So important. It's good for your brain. I think it's healthy for your. To expand your mind. Because we have a tendency to get, all of us, it's human nature to get stuck in a rut.
Yes.
Yes.
So, well, you know what? Open up 4 hours of your day and go enjoy doing something like this. And,
yeah, and just break up what you normally
right.
do. You know, that kind of breaking out of it and giving yourself a fresh perspective.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's an escape.
And support
yeah.
your actors and the
yeah.
directors and all these people that do this just for the pure love. They don't get money for it. They're doing it for passion.
Yeah. yeah. The money goes to keep the theater open.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Not for salaries or anything else. Like the Reading Rodeo, like so many other great volunteer organizations that we have here.
Just to
town.
Keep it going.
Okay, so we've given away two sets of tickets.
And Liam's got their names. Can
yeah.
you mention their names, Liam?
At least the first names.
Yeah, we have Alexis and Indian Dave.
All right.
Okay, Indian Dave.
Yeah. And that's, he'd like to be called Indian Dave.
This is a cool guy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Well, we can't wait to see you guys at the show.
Absolutely. Don't
yeah,
miss
we'll
it.
Make sure
that.
You say hi.
Amazing.
Oh, we'll just come up on the stage and introduce ourselves. At, you know, maybe at the curtain call, something like that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you so much for
Thank
having us.
Thank you so
us.
Much you for having us.
Hey, yesterday I mentioned something on the show that we were talking about the short-term rentals, and I said that the trash cans had been out for a month at the short-term rental. And when I came home yesterday,
right, Because every time we drive by, we would be like,
we go, oh, look, the trash cans are still there. I wonder how often they check this house. Anyway, yesterday when I came home from work, they were had been put away. Mm-hmm. So thank you, whoever did that, and thanks for listening. Maybe they were, oh, which one of us did that?
Or maybe they finally realized that somebody's rented it for the weekend or something, and they
went down to check
it. Down to check on it.
Oh, good. That'll give me enough time to get the organized. I pay homeless to sleep in their yard. No, I'm just kidding.
You're
Come
kidding.
On, that
no,
is just a joke.
I don't like that
joke.
Sense of humor.
Well, I don't care. I know. That's too bad. You know what? 15 years of it. It's not changing.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, everybody, when we come back after the news, Chris Kellstrom will join us, Shasta County Board of Supervisors. We're going to talk about what happened last night and a few other things.
You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. You may find yourself...
PCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. President Biden will be heading home soon following his visit to Ukraine and Poland. Meeting earlier today with NATO leaders in Warsaw, Mr. Biden decried Russia's invasion of Ukraine, saying it does not bode well for democracy around the world.
The idea that over 100,000 forces would invade another country since World War II, nothing like that has happened. Things have changed radically. We have to make sure we change them back.
And now there are three, a third Republican entering the race for the GOP presidential nomination. Vivek Ramaswamy is a biotech businessman, investor, and author of Woke Incorporated, announcing his candidacy in a newly released video declaring, "We are in the middle of a national identity crisis."
Faith, patriotism, and hard work have disappeared, only to be replaced by new secular religions like COVIDism, climatism, and gender ideology.
Ramaswamy joining former President Trump and former U.N. Ambassador South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, looking to become the GOP standard bearer in 2024. Also speculation, of course, that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will be entering the fray as well. A powerful winter storm bearing down on the Rockies and the Plains, expected to spread heavy snow across the Midwest, the Great Lakes, and eventually parts of the Northeast. And places that don't get snow aren't necessarily home free, according to Frank Pereira at the National Weather Service.
South of the heavier snow, we're looking at the potential for significant ice accumulations from Iowa, northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin, and southern Michigan, where they could see ice accumulations of up to a quarter inch or more across those areas.
Tens of millions of Americans are under winter weather advisories. On Wall Street, the Dow 25 points higher, the NASDAQ is up 16. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We're entering a time of increasing hostility against people of faith, a time when Christians are going to be tested on a moral and physical and financial basis, unlike any other time in our lifetime. I'm Lance Wallnau, Christian author, evangelical leader, here to remind you that you have to take action to protect and steward what God has given you. For example, record high inflation is going to continue to eat away at the dollar, and the savings of your retirement account is in danger. Fortunately, God does provide a way. To protect your retirement, I recommend diversifying your 401k or IRA out of paper and into physical gold. And the best way to do that is with a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. Now, to see how it works, just text the word FAITH to 989898. That'll give you access to a free info kit on gold IRAs. There are no strings attached, so text FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to 989898 right now, and I pray your family is blessed with peace of mind because you took action.
For people in North Korea, a dire situation goes from bad to worse.
For years, North Korea has suffered from food shortages due in part to its extreme isolation brought on by its development of nuclear weapons. Then at the start of the pandemic, it sealed its border with China, cutting off virtually all of its trade and forcing aid workers to leave the country. South Korea's government said yesterday that it appeared more people were now dying from starvation. The UN has offered to provide food, but North Korea has not accepted.
BBC's Jean McKenzie in Seoul. Germany is expelling two Iranian diplomats over the death sentence imposed in Iran against one of its citizens. Authorities in Iran announced that a 67-year-old Iranian-German national and U.S. resident was sentenced to death after being convicted of terrorist activities. News and analysis at townhall.com. All eyes are on an election in America's Dairyland.
Former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly will advance to the general election for an open seat on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Voters had four choices going into the primary, with two conservatives and two liberals vying for the open seat. The Wisconsin Supreme Court currently has a 4-3 conservative majority, but a conservative judge is retiring, which could change the majority of the court. The election is crucial because of the role this court could play in the 2024 election. Leftist groups have been pouring money into Democratic campaigns in the state. The general election is set for April 4th. Tayshia Stevens reporting.
The family of the late Malcolm X has announced plans to sue agencies, including the CIA, the FBI, and the New York Police Department and others for $100 million, accusing them of playing a role in his death. There's been no comment from any of the defendants in the case. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. just keep running it. So,
Well, it's the truth.
It's 8:05 in the morning, and here on the 22nd of February, it's Ash Wednesday. The news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, Caring Compassion Community. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. Liam's at the helm, and he's working in there because he's finding things that we want to play. And Linda's got the weather.
Good morning, everybody. Mostly sunny. Okay, we have a winter storm watch. Today, 20% chance of showers after 1 p.m. Mostly sunny with a high near 51 today. West winds 6 to 14 miles per hour with gusts that can go up to 21 miles per hour. Tonight, a 30% chance of snow showers, mainly after 4 a.m., increasing clouds with low around 30. Tomorrow, snow showers likely before 1 p.m. Then it looks like we may have 10 to 17 miles with gusts up to 23 miles. So we do have these windy days in front of us. Thursday looks like we've got rain, snow with overnight lows of 33. Friday, partly cloudy, then frost with our overnight lows of 31 and 47 will be our high. Saturday, the same, 57, overnight lows of 37. So we do have these chilly nights in front of us. So if you need to, like, cover your citrus or the things that you need to do in order to get, you know, to not have frost kill your whatever it could kill, even you, make sure you bundle up. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Locally owned and operated with senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793.
And we are here with Chris Kellstrom, Board of Supervisors. Supervisor, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I've been reading. I understand there was a resolution that was going to be presented last night.
There was.
At the Board of Supervisors. The chairman of the board, Patrick Jones, came in to talk about it. I've read that there's various citizen groups or one citizen's group that was unhappy about this. So what happened last night?
Well, it was a Second Amendment.
And we have an
resolution.
Hour to try to explain
okay.
this.
Okay. So, and here, I brought this map for you. So, you know, for the people that think like we're the first county to do this, that map there, all the colored spots on that map, are different counties across the nation that have passed a Second Amendment or resolution or Second Amendment thing. Some of them for state overreach, some of them for federal overreach, and some of them for both state and federal overreach.
So every one of these, and they're different colors.
Mm-hmm. So one's for state, one's for federal, one's for both.
So this is the vast majority of the counties in the United States, including most of Oregon.
Yeah.
As you can probably imagine, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Arizona.
And two in California already, so we're not even the first in California. Yeah. We'd be the third.
Yeah. You don't see a lot in the Northeast, though you do see them up in the New England states. But, yeah. Now this is funny because you look at Alabama and there's only one.
Yeah, they probably aren't too worried in Alabama.
Well, maybe that's why.
I think so. I think anyway. they protect your gun rights down there a little bit better than they do in California.
And what was, and we talked about it yesterday, but for people who didn't hear yesterday, what in the resolution essentially said, what?
Basically, it says, you know, in the case of government overreach, much like the mandates during COVID, okay, during mandates during COVID, for instance, a lot of the sheriffs stepped forward and a lot of the police chiefs stepped forward and said, listen, we do not have the manpower. We're not going to enforce these. So you can write all the mandates you want. You can tell us that we need to close the business down. You can need to tell us that everybody has to wear a mask, whatever the case may be. We are not going to enforce those. So this is kind of the basically the same thing. If you come out with an unconstitutional law, you know, and every law enforcement officer and, you know, every elected official has taken an oath to uphold the Constitution. If you come out with an unconstitutional law and it's obvious it's unconstitutional, this is a way to send a message saying that we will not enforce unconstitutional laws. And, you know, Counsel Cruz and I kind of had a little discussion about that last night because he says, well, that's the judiciary's place to decide what's constitutional and what's not constitutional. So this is true, but that means, for instance, right now California is trying to pass a law that basically says you can get a concealed weapons permit, but you can't carry it anywhere.
Absolutely. You know, so people don't know about that, but they want to outlaw it and
everywhere.
Every public place.
Everywhere. And private. If it's a Starbucks or a Target or whatever that says now it's private property and they have the right to do what they want.
Yeah.
But they're even going to be able to enforce it on private property. It's no longer like a civil matter. You know, you carried a gun into Starbucks and you weren't supposed to. It'll now be a criminal matter where, okay, this private property owner doesn't want you to carry in there and now you've broken a law. So,
and the other part too is if it's okay with you if people carry, you've got to put a placard in your window of your business or somewhere in your business that says, people with concealed carry can be in here. And something that says, we don't mind armed
right.
people being in here.
Yeah, so, right. yeah, no First Amendment issue there, is there?
No.
So basically, that law is a perfect example. That law is going to be struck down as unconstitutional. You're telling me that, first of all, I have to get a permit to carry a weapon, and now I can't carry it anywhere. Okay, it's going to be unconstitutional. But in the meantime, that's going to be imposed upon the citizens of California for, you know what, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, however long it takes to work its way through the Ninth Circuit and all the way up to the Supreme Court. It'll be struck down. So that law is an unconstitutional law. But this Second Amendment resolution would basically say, we know that's an unconstitutional law, or at least the sheriff of Shasta County feels this is an unconstitutional law, and maybe the police chief of Redding feels this is an unconstitutional law, and maybe the police chief of Anderson feels this is unconstitutional law. So this particular one, the Constitution trumps Gavin Newsom's law or the state of California's law, and we're not going to enforce that. We're not going to arrest somebody for carrying their gun into the library because this is going to eventually be struck down. And Marbury versus Madison said that any law that's repugnant to the Constitution cannot be upheld. So Counselor Cruz and I kind of got in that discussion because he says, well, this is the judiciary's, you know, concern. They decide what's lawful and what isn't. I said, okay, but in the meantime, you know, Marbury versus Madison says these laws cannot be enforced. So the enforcement of a law is not the judiciary's position. That's the sheriff, the police chief's, you know, the executive branch's decision.
And let's just make it real clear is that police and sheriff's deputies, enforcing laws is a subjective thing for them.
Absolutely.
It's not objective. It's
absolutely
subjective. Am I going to arrest this person? Am I going to do it on this person or this person? You know, I mean, only in the sense of what's my priorities out here.
Right. There years ago, a friend of mine was a Redding police officer, and he told me this story about, you know, he gets a call over the radio that there's a, you know, man with a gun or a suspect has a loaded firearm, so he's like screaming across town to get there, you know, and he goes, pulls up, and here's a guy dressed about like me. You know, he's got a flannel shirt on and jeans and boots, and he's laying face down on the ground at gunpoint. A female officer has him holding down there, and Keith's like, you know, what's going on here? And he's got a gun. Well, you know, he looks in the back seat, and there's a deer rifle sitting on the back seat. The guy was working shift work at the mill, and it was deer season. So when he would get off early in the morning or late at night or whatever it was, he would go out deer hunting after work or before work. He was deer hunting, you know, so. And Keith's trying to explain to her, my friend's trying to explain to her, like, this is different than, you know, a gangbanger with a stolen .45 underneath the front seat. This is, you know, this is not, sure, it's a firearm. Sure, it's in plain view. Sure, it's on the back seat. But there's some discretion to be used here.
Well, I think even by the law, you can take rifles and put them in the back as long as they're not loaded.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be so sure about that, Carl. Now we don't have open carry here in California anymore, so remember
but
that.
If it's in your car and you've got a hunting license, yeah, you know what? But it becomes subjective.
Exactly. And this Second Amendment resolution would give the sheriffs and the police officers more discretionary, you know.
Well, you know, let's take a break because okay. There's a lot of questions in this, and I can't wait to hear what happened. Please tell people that weren't there. You know, some of us were at a different meeting last night. What the ambiance was in the Board of Supervisors.
I don't know if that's the proper word.
The next thing I expect is a car to drive in and 12 clowns to get out. This portion of the show is brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. Judy's been helping people since 1993. And, you know, with all the weirdness coming in, like, you know, we're out, you know, we always look at different places to live, and people will tell us, well, you know, it's really hard getting fire insurance here. People lost their fire insurance after the car fire. Companies just dumped them, and, you know, I know we sent two or three people over there. I know others. Judy found them the fire insurance. They had their house insured. If you want a second opinion on retirement plans, insurance, any of this, give Judy a call at 221-0441 for a free review and evaluation. Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back.
I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with everyone. We'll sing and dance to Mother Nature's songs. I don't want this feeling to go away.
Shasta Beam is happy to announce that we have finally added 10 gigabits of new bandwidth services for our North State customers. Hi folks, this is Andy Main from Shasta Beam Wireless Internet bringing you news about our upgraded internet services. It took some time, but these new higher speeds mean you can work, study, and stream at home without the problems of slow internet. And these redundant services are faster, more reliable, and fulfilling our promise to deliver better internet every day. And right now, new customers get installed for free. That's right. Free installation services mean you can try it for free, and if you're not satisfied, you don't pay. That's a savings of over $700 compared to some of our competitors' startup costs. And there are no data caps or long-term contracts. All of our services come with a 14-day money-back guarantee. Call ShastaBeam today and ask for our free installation services. This is Andy Main, thanking you for your business, and don't worry, we'll keep the internet on for you.
Don't miss the Lance Michael Cornwell Band at Wind River Resort and Casino on Saturday, March 11th. Lance Michael Cornwell is a high-energy country band from Northern California that plays your favorite 90s country music with a modern rock twist. Bring your dancing shoes and join us in the Wind River Event Center for a night you won't forget. For tickets or complete details, visit windriver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN.
Must be 21 to attend this event.
Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and price right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hey, Chris Kellstrom. And so that's an honor of you, Chris. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2173 Hilltop Drive. All your tobacco needs, all your accessories, the finest walk-in humidor north of Sacramento, maybe even Sacramento for that special cigar. They've been helping our community and working with our community and being, you know, one of those secret angel groups for over 30 years.
Right.
Tobacco and Brew, mm-hmm. open Monday through Saturday. Tobacco and Brew. Okay, we're here with Board of Supervisors Supervisor Chris Kellstrom, and we were talking about last night. So you had and we're talking about the Second Amendment resolution. And you had back and forth with Ruben Cruz. Tell me what it looked like last night, because I see things in the paper where people were calling for opponents to this to organize, to bring signs and all this. So, and I will go in later just to take a look at it. So what was it like last night? Was it raucous? Was it, you know?
It was fairly raucous. I mean, it was most of them, you know, they stayed in their lane, so to speak. They had their signs and, you know, they made their positions very clear and, you know, and hey, that's what the First Amendment is all about by all means. So.
Well, what was the main opposition to it?
You know, the main opposition, I guess, is, I honestly had so many people come up there and speak and say, you know, hey, I'm not against the Second Amendment. You know, I have guns and I grew up with guns and my husband hunts and this and that and da da da. But I'm against upholding the Second Amendment, or I'm against putting it on the books that the Second Amendment is important. It's crazy. And then there is another argument of, well, you know, why are you doing a resolution on the Second Amendment? Why aren't you doing it on the First Amendment, or the Fourth Amendment, or the Eighth Amendment? You know, and I actually addressed that later on, and I said, you know, you guys bring up these other amendments that we're not doing a resolution to enforce. Quite frankly, there's not a war on the rest of the amendments. They're chipping away at the Second Amendment. They're coming after the Second Amendment. They're not going after the First Amendment. They're not going after the Fourth Amendment. They're going after the Second Amendment. So this is a resolution or a way to step forward and say, we're going to protect this.
I believe if you had gone up with a resolution to support the First Amendment, there had been nothing.
I don't know.
I mean,
it was brought forward by myself or Patrick Jones,
well,
there probably still would have been people.
You know, that
here.
First Amendment.
I hate the First Amendment.
But see, but the thing is the Second Amendment is just like the First Amendment.
Yeah.
And, you know, but you're right. There is a constant battle in this state, especially. Other states are going the other direction.
Yeah.
In fact,
yeah.
More constitutional carry states. Every time you turn around, there's another one of those. Anyway, so everybody had their say. And what was the result?
So the result was there was basically two resolutions. There was a resolution that was written by the California Rifle and Pistol Association by their lawyers. You know, similar resolutions have been passed, like I showed you on the map, all across the nation.
You cannot, you know, I'm going to try and get this a photo of this. I guess I can look this up someplace.
Yeah, or you can
but
keep
it
that
is
one.
The majority of the counties of the United States.
So it was a similar resolution, but then our county council went through it and, you know, and into what he thought was best to protect our county. He went through and took some things out and changed some things and changed some verbiage and most of it. I mean, I actually agreed with a couple of them. I mean, towards the end of the resolution, it mentioned something about the county employees need to all retake their oath every year, or they need to reconfirm yeah. their oath every year or something. And I'm thinking, okay, I it's one thing for the Board of Supervisors to be passing this, but I'm not going to put it on all the county employees to have to, you know, reaffirm their oath. Although, you know, personally, I would have no problem with it reaffirming my oath to the Constitution. But again, I'm not going to put that on them. So that particular part, I said, okay, let's go ahead and go with council's recommendation. We can take that out. I moved to pass this thing with that exception. But then it was a lot of the other sections were brought down enough to where, especially the one where it said basically we're going to let the judiciary decide what we enforce and what we don't. And that was the sticking point there, because it's like, no, we need to give our law enforcement, the officers and sheriffs and chiefs, the discretion to use their own discretion and judgment. If there's a law that is obviously unconstitutional, then they can use their discretion whether they want to enforce it or not. So that one kind of went down. That was the sticking point to the entire thing, I believe, was the verbiage that said it's up to the judiciary to decide what's constitutional. And basically, we would be right in the same boat we are. We're going to enforce all these laws whether we agree with them or not, whether we think they're constitutional or not. And our argument there is, you all took an oath to uphold the Constitution. If there is a law that is unconstitutional, and it's obvious it's unconstitutional, and it's going to be proven down the road, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, that it's unconstitutional, you know, it's already precedent that you don't have to enforce that. So that was kind of the sticking point. It ended up going to Chief Johnson, or excuse me, Sheriff Johnson came up there and actually spoke in support of the Second Amendment resolution, but he wanted the watered down version, so to speak. He wanted the one with all the corrections on it. So it came down to, I think Tim Garmon made a motion to uphold the one that had been watered down, so to speak, or had been, you know, gone through by county council and everything was changed. There was no second to the motion. So then I motioned to approve it as it was, with the exception of making the employees take their oath again every year. That was seconded. It got to voted on. Mary and Tim voted no. Patrick and I voted yes. And Kevin abstained. So, kick the can down the road.
Okay.
Liam's not ready.
Liam?
There we go.
That's a can being kicked down the road. So do it again. Empty. One more time, buddy. There you go. That's perfect. And I want to put that right there on the desktop. So as we talk about when Mayor DeQuisto comes in tomorrow, I want to hit that 2 or 3 times during the
Okay.
Well, if you want to know
wait
more.
Now, wait a minute. 2-4, 2 against, and Kevin abstained.
Yes, and then
did he give a reason for
that? Well, he did after some prodding, because Patrick asked Ruben Cruz if he needed to give a reason or not, and Kevin offered that he would give a reason whether he needed to or not. And anyways, it came back, and his reason was he needed to run this through by his lawyer, and he wasn't able to contact his lawyer because this came out on Thursday, and it was a 3-day weekend, and he never had a chance to get hold of his attorney. So he wanted his attorney to look through the resolution to give him advice on how he should vote, or whether the county was open for.
So after Patrick exploded on the in his chair, I mean, it's going to be worth watching just to see that. So now
it comes back up in a couple of weeks, and, you know, hopefully Kevin's lawyer will look through it and decide whether, he's open for, you know, any legal ramifications down the road with it, way it's watered down or way it's not watered down.
Would Mary and Tim, would they have supported, well, Tim obviously did. Supported the
watered down version,
but Mary wasn't going to support either one.
You know, I don't know. I honestly don't know. And I'll tell you what, I know she has a lot of respect for Sheriff Johnson. And I think when Sheriff Johnson got up there and spoke that he would be in favor of this, I honestly kind of was thinking, I'm not sure what Mary's going to do now. I mean, I think she may have voted for it. I don't know.
Never came up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, before we take a break, I just want to share with our listeners that our guest right now is Chris Kellstrom, if you're tuning in. You can find out more about Chris, who's District 5 supervisor, which includes Anderson, Cottonwood, Happy Valley, Millville, Manton, Shingletown, and Viola. Later on, it would be interesting for us to discuss that you serve as the county liaison to some interesting organizations as well. So we'd like to know more about who you are. Yes, we're talking about something that happened last night in the subject of the Second Amendment and so on and so forth. But if you go to ShastaCounty.gov, you'll see information on Chris Kellstrom and the fact that he's got this several generations in Cottonwood, which I love. I'd love to know your story. We'll be right back after these messages, taking an early break here on KCNR. 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. This is your talk radio, also streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Roundtable Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hop takes over your commercial, I'll hop with the hop. Where the apps are the coolest and the music is the smoothest with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling B&T Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH.
Hi, this is Doug Thule. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Reading, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
We got the dreamers.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. Chris is, you know, if you don't know Chris is a funny guy. I don't mean funny like odd. He tells funny stories.
I love and that.
Anyway, 8:33 in the morning here on the 22nd of February. It's Ash Wednesday. It still says 29 degrees. I think it's gone up to at least 32. I think. This portion of the show brought to you by my favorite place. One of my favorite places in Reading, Cypress Square Barbershop.
It doesn't change.
It doesn't change.
That's a cool thing.
It's stability in my life, which God knows I don't have much of. I've been getting my haircut there for 15 years. Never had a bad haircut. It's a veteran-owned business. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointments, and this is what's so cool. I call them up and say, hey, can I get in Tuesday at 10? Oh, nope, that's full, but you can get in at 10:30. Whoa, there I am. Walk in, get my hair cut, and walk out. Or I can just hang around and listen to what's going on. It's man's last stronghold. You don't have to worry about Dr. Phil being on the TV when you're in there. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens, across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's. Another great place here in town. Our guest is Chris Kellstrom, 5th District Supervisor. We talked about last night. Linda has a few, you know, a little bit about you.
Well, Chris, go to, for our listeners, go to County of Shasta in California, ShastaCounty.gov, and you are a liaison for a lot of water. So that's been a huge issue. Of course, you live in Cottonwood. We were talking about one of your fundraisers. You were starting to tell a funny story about a fundraiser down in Churn Creek Bottom.
Yeah, I was. So I had a fundraiser, and I'll just say an old guy. He's a good friend of mine now, but an older gentleman. He comes up to me, and I asked him. He said I could put a sign on his property in Churn Creek Bottom, and I said, well, how long have you lived in Churn Creek Bottom, Bill? And he says, well, 85 years. And I said, well, you may have known my dad and uncle. I said, they grew up in Churn Creek Bottom, went to Pacheco and Enterprise, and he says, well, what's their name? Well, we're at a fundraiser for me, so there's giant blue Kellstrom signs all the way around the entire building, right? And I said, well, it'd be Kellstrom. He says, Swede? You know, and I look at him, and that's what they called my grandfather. My grandfather was Swedish, and they called him Swede. And I said, that was my grandfather. He says, I worked on the Trinity Dam with Swede. We ran heavy equipment on there, you know, like in the 50s or 60s.
That's
or whatever.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was like very cool, very cool.
Well, you know what? I can kind of understand why he asked, because, you know, with, you know, family.
Well, true. Yeah,
different
I know.
But that was funny. Yeah.
But you were tall and big like me, and they say the big Swede.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, I mean, I'm serious, you know, that's, yeah.
You would be the, if you went to Central Casting, I need a big Swede, and I need a logger. You'd show up and they'd hire you immediately.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
Chris,
so great.
Since you've come in to the Board of Supervisors.
Can we call you Swede?
Absolutely.
All right, love it.
Swede.
I'm always going to call you Swede.
Swede. Surprises. You know, you ran your campaign, you get elected, you have ideas. Nobody goes into an election without thinking, I've got some really great ideas here. And then you meet the bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, bureaucracy isn't always a bad word. That's how things run. Surprises, things that you found when you stepped in.
So I remember Trish Clark telling me right here in this studio during a break, she says, you know, you think you're going to go in there and make changes. And she says, these bureaucrats are going to look you in the eye and say, I was here before you, I will be here long after you, and I don't care what you have to say. And I remember telling her, well, they'll be right on the part that they were here before me, but don't count on you're going to be here after me. So I'm kind of the wild card, you know, and I go in there, and I fully expected that to be a huge battle. I mean, this thing's been going the wrong way, in my opinion, for 30, 40 years. And for instance, the building department, planning department, permitting process, whatever. I've got to say that I am so impressed with our director of resources and our head of code enforcement. Those guys have bent over backwards to give me exactly what I asked for. And I was pretty straightforward, and there was no gray areas when I talked to them, you know, but I explained to them, if somebody's doing a project in our county, you know, we should be rolling out the red carpet for them. If they want to redo, you know, whatever on their property, they're going to spend tens of thousands of dollars in a local economy with the concrete guy and the cement, you know, the painting the guy, the electrician, da da da. I said, then they're going to beautify their property and make it better. Then they're going to increase the value of the property, and we're going to increase the taxes on that. I said, so this is a win-win-win for everybody involved, and you guys are stopping progress with your stupid garden shed 40 years old that isn't permitted and this, that, and the other thing. And you know, I was very straightforward, but I got to tell you, I am so impressed. I had a lady, it's been about 4 weeks ago now, and it wasn't even my constituent, but she sent a letter saying that she had bought her property in 2017. She had applied for a permit to redo the garage in 2020. They came back and said this garden shed isn't permitted in this garden shed and this blah, 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 and the window awnings. And of course, so I call her because this is my hot button issue. This is the stuff that drives me nuts. So I call her, she explains the whole thing, and da-da-da, and Pat Minturn was still there, and he says, relax, send it to Paul, he'll take care of it, send it to Paul, you know. So I sent it over, I sent her email over there, and I mean, I ended up, it was a Friday afternoon, I ended up going home because it was late in the afternoon. He must have called her within 30 minutes and told her, listen, we changed our plans in 2022, and he says, if you apply for a project permit and there's something else on your property that's out of compliance, we ignore everything if it doesn't directly affect the project.
He came on the show, and he gave all these changes.
Yeah.
And that was, he said, that's probably one of the biggest ones. If you've got an unpermitted shed on there, and yet you want to build a patio,
yep,
or whatever it takes a permit, that's what we look at.
So,
I don't know when it would. I guess if she sold the property, she has to tell people these things are unpermitted.
She bought the property with them unpermitted.
Yeah. So, but what a huge change that was.
Absolutely.
And they love it.
Yeah. He called her within 30 minutes, I think, and said, hey, you'll get your permit. We changed our, you know, focus. And then Adam called me on Monday. He's been on the show too. Adam called me on Monday and said, hey, I talked to her. Everything's good. She's got a permit, you know. So I called her on Tuesday and I said, hey, is everything okay? And she goes, I don't know what you did, Jesus, but it's, you know. So again, I'm so grateful to them because this is what we want to do.
They're, you know, streamlining the process.
Absolutely.
You know, the other thing, and I've been listening to this for 14 years, Chris, just like you, Linda, and I've been listening to this, problems people are having. One stop. When you can go in there and get everything done, you bring it in, they look at it, they approve it, all that, and then they come out to inspect it, it's off that sheet. I got, you know, to me, that's another huge step forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, that, I'm not sure that's happening in every case, but again, they are what you wanted and what I wanted and what everybody wants. They wanted to make it easier.
Yeah, and then I you know, I'll give another plug to Public Works because I had a gentleman in Cottonwood email me, and he had a drainage issue on his road, and I happen to know somebody very well that lived on that road. So he sent me the email, and I responded to it. Well, first he'd sent me the email. He'd sent it twice on Martin Luther King Day, which the county was kind of closed. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
And then he sent it again two more times the next morning at 7 and 7:15. Of course, you know, I wasn't there again. And in his thing, he says, I've been contacting the county for 2.5 years, and no one's ever gotten back to me and blah, blah, blah. And I've been talking to this guy, and he gave his number and the whole bit. So I emailed him back, and I said, okay, I'll look into this. Well, he was just shocked that I even emailed him back. You know, so I called the guy at the county and I said, hey, you know, is this an ongoing thing? Is this, no, just during times of heavy extra rain, it, you know, backs up. I said, okay. So this may just be, you know, a customer that's complaining or constituent that's complaining. It's not really that big of an issue. But I went ahead and texted my friend that lives on that road and I said, hey, you know, I got this email. And he emailed or texted me back, says, no, it's actually is an issue, and here's the problem. And he had videos of water running down the road and the whole bit. Yeah. So I called back to the county, and the gentleman that my constituent had been talking to, and I said, hey, apparently this is a problem. I said, so would you pick a time if you could meet me down there and we could take a look at it and, you know, hear them? And he says, okay, so Monday at 1, we're going to go down there. Well, then I get an email from the director of Public Works, Al, and says, hey, I'm going to be down there too, and I'm going to bring the head engineer with me, and we're all going to go down there. So we go down there, and this old guy is, you know, my constituent is beside himself because it's like, I was just impressed you answered my email. You know, now you got the Public Works director here with the head engineer, and we walked the entire street, went all the way down, and looked at the ditches on either side, and, I mean, they came back and said, well, you know, we can do this, and you can do this and da da da. And I mean, I learned what a private road maintenance thing is with the county. I mean, it was just an unbelievable experience. And again, I mean, I cannot believe how receptive the county is, the employees so far that I've dealt with that, you know, are wanting to make some changes.
There is a ton of absolutely great county employees.
We really need to hear that. I think that's really
but it's true.
Really good juju that we need to put out there, because there's so many people that have said so many negative things to say. It's great to see, Chris, that in your seat that you've been able to do just two, you know, you just gave us two
examples
here today of, you know, how it can move forward, and it will move forward. And sometimes it takes somebody like you in order to put the puzzle together in order to move it forward. So,
and I can just say that at the city, also, that when you bring a subject up, they listen. And so it's, I mean, the city council. So having, you know, hearing this, that it kind of gives me a good feeling. Now, we got to take a break.
We do have a call. Quick question, Nick, before we take a break, and then we'll.
Hey, good job, Chris. Hey, I had a problem down here, the same thing you're talking about. And it was the city flooding my property. I went to the city six or eight times. They told me it wasn't their problem. It was their drainage ditch flooding my property. I went to the county for help. Modi said there's nothing he can do to the county. Pat Minturn says he can't tell a county to fix it. I went back to the city. I told them that I was going to call State Water Control, the EPA, because they were polluting my aquifer, and they finally fixed the problem. But the county come out, and I specifically told them the north side of Wilshire Drive, or the south side, they come down and fix the north side. There wasn't a problem there. I had to hold their hand and tell them what to do. So I'm really glad you're on top of that. Good job, buddy.
Thanks, Nick.
Julie Winter, she didn't want anything to do with me. That's not your problem. That's not our problem. That's the property owner's problem. I was so disgusted. Have a great day.
All right.
Thanks, Nick. Why did they allow, and right before the break, why did they allow a house to be sold with unpermitted stuff?
I think as long as it's brought to the attention of the buyer and they know, then it's...
That it's unpermitted.
Right.
Yeah, I think, they have to disclose
right.
It. Okay. All right, hey, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to be right back with Chris Kallstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Take a load off, Benny. Take a load for free. Take a load off.
Hey there, friends. This is RC from Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar is Sin Compromiso Selección No. 2. This is one of the very best in our treasury of cigars. Made without compromise, this wonderfully crafted torpedo took years of experimenting using Japanese farming techniques. The result is a truly unique and complex smoke. Each cigar is gently soft-pressed and sleeved in Spanish cedar and available in very limited supply. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
On display now at Turtle Bay Museum, Honor, Courage, Commitment, Marine Corps Art, 1975 through 2018, featuring 36 art pieces created by Marine combat artists who documented their own experience in times of war and peace. This traveling museum exhibition is sponsored by the Marine Corps Heritage Foundation from the National Museum of the Marine Corps. Open now through April 30th. Honor, Courage, Commitment, Marine Corps Art at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
When Black Bear Diner first opened, they filled the largest platters they could find. Not much has changed. Their legacy of huge portions continues today, and they've just introduced new diner deals. 6 new dinner combos and new home-style side choices. Baby back ribs and tri-tip, chicken strips and tri-tip, chicken Alfredo, chicken and pesto, ribs and shrimp, and cod and shrimp. There is always plenty for your paws at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Today, the 22nd of February, Ash Wednesday. So if you see people walking around with this a mark on their foreheads, that's what it is. It's not a strange new cult that started here in Reading. It's about 31 degrees out there. We're going to have storm warnings later on this week, possible snow, and, of course, rain. Our guest is Board of Supervisors, District 5 Supervisor Chris Kellstrom. We talked about the Second Amendment resolution, which has been
kicked down the road.
I caught him by surprise. He's in there.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, never mind then. It's been kicked. Yep, there it is. That's being kicked down the road until another meeting because it was a 2-2 and an abstain. So that kind of just stopped it right there, and it'll come back again in a couple of weeks. Then we talked about you being introduced to the bureaucracy of the county, and you've been so pleasantly surprised that they've been very amenable. They've been answering questions. They've been going out and seeing people. The big change they did in July of 2022, especially about the permitting process. And if you've had problems getting permits for things, you need to go back and check again. Or get a hold of your supervisor.
Yep.
So, what do you want to accomplish here? I know it hasn't been long.
Right.
But you've seen the way it works. What would you like to see accomplished here in the next 6-7 months?
Oh, boy. Well, I want to see water in that ECID canal for sure. I do want to work on a fire ordinance. We have a fire ordinance basically that was written years ago. There's no teeth in it at all. It was written in protecting special interest groups. It was the number one priority of the fire ordinance passed years ago, from my understanding. I had second thoughts. Trish is glad that I kind of came around to... I didn't want to burden the private homeowners. Of course, I didn't want to burden the private citizens because at the time, you know, our code enforcement a lot of times was so ridiculous and going after people for just ridiculous things. I didn't want to write an ordinance so that, you know, old widow Johnson had a tree fall down in a storm and now she's being fined every day because she hasn't cut it up yet, you know, and it's been a week.
Yeah.
So I was worried about that. But now, you know, now that our code enforcement is doing such a great job and actually going after problems and not, going after, you know, private citizens. There is a need for a fire ordinance on private property because, quite frankly, there's I've been involved with the fire safety council out in Happy Valley, and there's a lady there that keeps her property nice and neat, neat as a pin, but her neighbor is just a pigsty, from my understanding. And you know, now he's caused a fire issue for her because if his place catches on fire, he's going to burn hers down because it's, you know, sure, close enough. Talked to somebody up in Shingletown. He had the same thing. His place is very neatly kept. He has goats. Everything's eaten down. It's, you know, his is very safe, but there's an absentee landowner that owns the property behind him, and it's just choked with brush and trees. And I mean, it's, if it catches on fire, it's going to burn his place, even though his is clean. So I wanted to write a fire ordinance that would make the federal government and the state government take care of their properties that they manage in our county. But I'm thinking now I'll probably expand that to put some sort of teeth in it where some of these absentee landowners or just landowners that are not taking care of their properties, they will be forced to, you know, clean it up. And I'd like to, you know, get grants involved where we can go to the landowner that there's a complaint on and say, listen, we have this grant in place. We're, you know, our crews are going to be out here in this area anyways. Let's go ahead. We will free of charge or minimal charge. We want to help you clean your property. And if they refuse, and there's actually going to be some of them that will refuse, you know, to let anybody in their property, well, then, you know, then we'll
now, you, now you can go after them because right now they're a danger to their neighbors. What about if a private citizen has, say, 5 acres and, you know, around their house are okay, but in that 5 acres, it's a problem, but they can't afford to bring in people to drop trees and clean that out. Would there be some kind of assistance that
so
way?
So there is a ton of grants out there. There is millions upon millions of dollars in grants. Shingletown already has a very good fire safety council. They've been working with Lassen Fire Safety Council, which Lassen gets the grants and then doles them out. So Shingletown's been getting some good grants. Happy Valley is right on the verge of being certified to be a fire safe area, fire safe, you know, region. So they'll start being able to get grants. So there's a ton of grants out there, and that's the object is to get these grants.
Bring people
we have some
up
dollars.
With them. So right, you could have, you can get a grant for $50,000 for somebody, you know, to bring in teams that will clean it
absolutely
up.
Absolutely.
Make the place safe, not fireproof, nothing's fireproof, but to clear it out. And the, now see, that's where I see government is of a big help.
Yeah.
Instead of telling me you've got to clear this land. Well, if I don't have the money for that,
absolutely,
what am I supposed to do?
You're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, that's a great idea, Chris.
So, yeah, there's a lot of things. I mean, and I will give another shout out when, you know, code enforcement again. When I sat down my very first meeting, I'd asked about health code enforcement. I said, do you oversee health code enforcement? And yes, she showed me his flow chart. And so I held up my finger and I said, we're not going to go after Girl Scouts anymore. Am I perfectly clear on this? You know, and then I brought up to him that I was at the lighted Christmas tree parade in Palo Cedar all night long because the Girl Scouts had gotten a permit to sell hot cocoa. And the health department said that if their warm water hand washing station wasn't warm enough, they were going to shut them down. I said, we're not doing that anymore. And he says, well, you know, if you get a food handling permit, then you're subject to inspection. I said, let me tell you, if you get a food handling permit, you are already attempting to do the right thing. Let's assume they're going to continue to do the right thing, and let's put them on the back burner. I said, you want to know a serious health code violation that I'm concerned with? You go into these transient camps, and they have human waste flowing right into our waterways. They have hypodermic needles and filth and litter and refuse all over the place. That's a serious health code violation, more so than anything the Girl Scouts are going to do in their hot cocoa booth. I said, so if you want to harass somebody, let's go and harass these people and leave the damn Girl Scouts alone. Now, I will say, again, I'm pretty straightforward, and there's not a lot of gray area when I talk. So I will say this. I have personally been on 2 raids with code enforcement and the sheriff's department, as well as Cal Fire law enforcement, on a squatter's camp out in Happy Valley. Squatters have gone out there. It's an absentee landowner. It's a mess. They're shooting guns. They're selling drugs. Their dogs are getting loose and running cows. I mean, it's a nightmare for the citizens out there. And I have personally been on 2 raids myself with code enforcement. And then the 1 raid I didn't go on, they brought the paddy wagon and hauled 14 of these people, you know, off to jail. Now, of course, they were released immediately, but still, it's a way to put some pressure on them. Like, you know, maybe one another county would be more suited to your lifestyle.
Once they were removed in the paddy wagon, were their belongings then taken and everything so that they couldn't go back?
So not that time, but now we do have an abatement hearing on that property. So, you know, it's a landowner down in Sacramento that I think bought it as a, you know, an investment or whatever. He's not there. These people have moved in. My understanding, one of them is actually collecting rent from the rest of them on this property that they've taken over.
Well, it's his fiefdom. You know, and he controls the drugs, he controls the prostitution, he charges rent. There's no way you're going to fix this until you find that property owner and threaten to drop a hammer on him.
Right, and that's what we're doing. Now, we have a property up in Shingletown that the county is a conservatorship of it.
Uh-huh.
So we're in charge of it, and it's a nightmare. 31,000 Highway 44, if you talk to anybody in Shingletown, they know exactly what I'm talking about. It's full of junk cars and trailers, and there's transients that live in there. And, I mean, it's just a nightmare. They wrapped a chain around it, and they locked the gate, and they cut the chain. And, I mean, it's just an ongoing issue. But the county is in conservatorship of that property. The landowner died, back taxes, county took it over. Problem is, and I've talked with Lori Scott, and we're going to solve this problem too. But basically, you know, I said, well, you know, just common sense. Why can't we just go in there and clean all this stuff up, throw the place up for sale, and then we will recoup our cost of the cleanup when we sell the property? Well, sounds pretty simple enough, but with budgets and dollars allocated and everything else, there is no funding for that. So, she's told me that. Basically, I need to set up a trust account where we can pull money from the trust account, clean the property up. Then when we sell it, we can pay back the trust account. I've talked to some other people that basically say there's some counties that have these things and they're just revolving. And, you know, you clean up this property and then you go to clean up this property. And when you sell that property, you repay the trust and you're cleaning this property. So it's just kind of a slush fund, so to speak.
Okay, we have to run.
Okay.
Chris, thanks a lot for coming in today.
Thank you.
Short
you
notice, and I called you yesterday, and you're more than happy to come in.
Appreciate
so many
it.
Things, and I feel better about
the work that our county is doing,
and the great people there. And
thank you for enlightening us.
Yeah. Hey, tomorrow the mayor.